Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, right then.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the fruit cellar of Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether you're listening online worldwide or perhaps nationwide, one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If it's your first time with us, let me tell you what we do if you don't yet know. We are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Rogers Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That in our weekly top three list, inspired by the movie in question. And this week, it's episode two of our Framley Plan, as they tell us what to watch and review. And I do believe this week our favorite color is blue.
Blue?
Blue is the warmest color.
I knew it was coming.
I didn't, because I just thought of it. Kind of wish I hadn't.
Right.
Savage, yes. You passed the ball to someone. Who is it and what film are we digging into this week?
My brother from another mother, Blue Sherry. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he picked Evil Dead 2.
Ooh.
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
Dead by Dawn.
Dead by
Dawn.
Dead by Dawn.
Oh, my God.
I still haven't figured
out. Kick him out now.
That's staying. I love it. Same genre. Same genre. It's okay.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2. And I think this is welcomed by a lot of people, certainly here at this table, but I think there's a lot of fanboys out there.
Yeah, there certainly are.
Is there like a rule that if you can't pass up an opportunity, if it's there for you for Evil Dead 2, you have to take it?
I think so. I think it's like in the pantheon of this, don't take this the wrong way, but like Citizen Kane and things like that, that sooner or later, if you discuss films, you're going to discuss certain films. And Evil Dead 2, I think, falls in that pantheon.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. So, yeah.
Well, it should.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that, Max Gumbo Johnson, who's sitting across from me. How are you doing today, by the way? I'll introduce you first.
Well, you know, I'm fine. I'm great.
Yeah. You're anxious to talk about this particular
I'm
film.
Always anxious to talk about this movie.
All right. Well, let's get into it. And let's go to your right this time. That is Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hey.
The patron saint of quality outerwear.
Mm-hmm.
As always. There you are. James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, maestro?
Well, you know, Savage, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm not locked in any kind of fruit cellar.
I don't think James has ever been third. He's not taking it.
I didn't know it would hurt you so bad. Do you feel like I just swallowed your soul?
Swallowed my soul.
Yeah. So anyways, guys, that is the... Oh, wait, our producer.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, my God. And he's the man who's fallen from the sky to save us from the deadites, too.
The reason for the season.
Yeah. And trust me, he certainly cannot live without his hand. And that is our producer.
He doesn't play piano either.
I guess I'll whack it off. Oh, wait, I'm talking about the hand.
The hand.
Oh, play on words.
Right.
All right, so there we are, guys. That's us, the Q Filmcast. I'm Michael. If I didn't introduce that already, did I? Okay, so before we get into our review of this film and tell you what we thought, let's tell you how to keep up with us. Many, many ways to do so. If you Google us, we're there. You'll find anything you want.
Google.
Facebook, iTunes, Twitter.
Yep.
Any which way you want to go. I'd say you go to the, first and foremost, the QFilmcast.net. QFilmcast.net. Absolutely. That's our site. 1987, Evil Dead 2, which is interesting in itself. This is not necessarily a sequel, is it?
Nope.
Yes.
Nope. It is a sequel.
We'll discuss that later.
You're going to call this a sequel?
Yeah.
Film was directed by Sam Raimi. Yep. Written and directed by Sam Raimi, actually. Yeah. But known for, obviously, the Evil Dead films. Spider-Man, the new ones, 1 through 3. Drag Me to Hell, The Quick and the Dead.
I like The Quick and the Dead.
Love The Quick and the Dead. Yeah. I've told you this before, too. Anytime you want to talk about Drag Me to Hell, let me know. A little bit of Raimi trivia. Because let's not get into the Evil Dead trivia. Yeah, let's talk about this guy first. Family was name was changed from German. Name Regenwurz.
Regenwurz.
Regenwurz, maybe, perhaps. Frequently figures out difficult shots by reverse motion acting. Actors going in reverse, and he plays them the other way.
Like reverse engineering.
Exactly right. Deconstruction.
Exactly.
Kind of his trademark.
Sure. Hmm.
Did we see that in this film? We'll talk about that.
Talk about it.
I'm going to defer to the patron saint outerwear for this one. Did you know he usually wears a jacket and tie on the set of his films?
What kind of jacket?
Well, it's a tribute to Alfred Hitchcock.
Yep, tribute to Alfred Hitchcock.
I don't know.
You mean like a suit jacket, a trench coat?
Whatever Alfred Hitchcock used to wear.
Are there patches involved?
Maybe on the sleeve.
Sometimes.
Gotta have the patches.
All right, so there you go. A little bit of trivia about the guys who actually made the film. Film stars Bruce Campbell.
Yay. We know.
Yay, Bruce
Yay,
Campbell.
Brucey.
This film inspires a top three list. This is no different. This inspired our top three Evil Dead movies, I guess. We're going to keep it in the family. Mm-hmm. We say it inspired. It was kind of like self-contained.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get into what we think of the show, but right now let's get into what the critics think of it. We like to do that. Kick it back to IMDb Rotten Tomatoes. So let's do that right now. IMDb. Max Gumbo Johnson. What do you think IMDb gave this film?
8.6.
Yeah, you're off. You're off today. You're off this week.
9.6.
You're going the wrong direction.
Oh, then they're wrong.
7.9 IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes. Let's talk about this one. If it's fresh, can you make a sandwich out of it? Or is it going
100%.
Out? You're close, man. 98% from the critics.
From the critics?
98%, yeah.
Wow.
Users are not losers, man. 89%.
Wow. They're wrong.
Let's talk about currency, because when we get to this film, we don't use stars. We don't use thumbs up, thumbs down. You know why?
Because it's stupid. Why, Max?
It's stupid, right? Yeah, we let the film tell us what we're going to do with this thing, and no different here. We're talking about what? 1 to 10 what, Hoodie?
Swallowed souls?
Yep.
All right.
Swallow your soul. Swallow your soul.
Swallowed souls.
Yeah, that's because spitters are quitters.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
That's what you said.
Don't spit out that soul.
We should probably not keep that, should we?
I love it.
Don't spit out that soul.
All right, so we're going to go with 1 to 10 swallowed souls in honor of the film we're going to talk about. All right, so let's go ahead and get into this thing here, Savage. Tell you what, in honor of the Framley plan, we have a bit of a synopsis on this film, tell you what this film's about, in case you don't know, which I think most people probably will, but let's give it a rundown anyway. What you got?
All right, here's what you have. This high-octane semi-sequel to Sam Raimi's cult hit, The Evil Dead, has nearly eclipsed its predecessor's reputation thanks to an endless barrage of hyperkinetic camera acrobatics, rapid-fire editing, and slapstick gore effects. Not to mention a truly goofy performance by Bruce Campbell. Nearly the entire storyline of the previous film has been reshot and presented in a drastically condensed form within the first few minutes. Rock-jawed but clueless hero, Ash Campbell, now visits the mountain cabin only with the girlfriend Linda. Upon arrival to the cabin, Ash discovers the Sumerian Book of the Dead, the ritual dagger, and the reel-to-reel tape containing the professor's translations of the book's hieroglyphics. The incantations summon an unseen, growling spirit from within the woods, which bursts into the cabin and takes possession of Linda's soul. Ash is forced to decapitate her with a shovel, after which he buries her in the forest. At first dawn, Ash tries to make his escape, but is promptly set upon by the spirits, given a solid thrashing, and nearly possessed himself, saved only by the arrival of sunlight. Cut off from the outside world, Ash is forced to hole up in the cabin and wait for the next demonic onslaught, which arrives sooner than expected, led by Linda's rotting corpse. The obvious glee in which Raimi and company presents this cavalcade of slime-drenched monstrosities and Three Stooges pratfalls makes it impossible to take seriously as a horror film. But Evil Dead 2 is, nevertheless, essential viewing among connoisseurs of truly demented cinema. The film's sardonic coda opened the way for a slightly less sequel, Army of Darkness.
There you go. That's it. All right, well, let's take a break. Let's go down to the cellar, carve us up a trailer.
Oh, I like, that. That.
I've been waiting for days, Hoodie. Days and days.
I like that.
Yeah, we'll come back in a minute. Here's a piece of a trailer from Evil Dead 2, 1987, written and directed by Sam Raimi. We'll come back and tell you what we thought.
4 years ago, in this quiet forest, in this cozy cabin, something happened. Something so frightening. Something so deadly. Something so evil. We prayed it would never happen again. Now, from the creator of Evil Dead, comes Evil Dead 2. Dawn.
Okay, so there you go. There's a trailer, a piece from the film we're talking about tonight, 1987, the classic Evil Dead 2.
Those.
Dead by Dawn.
Havana Nights.
Dead by Dawn.
I was going to try to get it. I was going to try to get it that time.
Yeah, so let's get into this, guys. We already know what the critics said. I said we just get it rolling.
Yeah.
Sure.
Into the woods we go. Let's go over to, I guess we're going to go to Savage.
Yeah, it's Framley.
It's a Framley plan. Right. By the way, one more nod. Blue
Sherry.
The Blue Sherry episode.
Yeah, he wanted to know with this pick why it's so universally loved, or at least our opinion on why we think that it's so universally
why
loved.
Why does it sustain?
Exactly. Sure. I mean, he's not really expecting like, oh, Adam gives it a 1 or, you know, Max gives it a 10. He's not expecting that kind of swing. He's wanting to just kind of validation, I guess, for the quality or the staying power of this film. So I give this a 6 because I don't understand the allure of this film.
You, sir, suck.
So
Max, hold on. We'll get there.
There's a 6 for you.
All right, 6. So, is there any chance of maybe moving up?
Possibly, but I mean, because I know we got to go into our top 3, and then I got to rate this against the other 3.
Okay.
And if I'm going to give them scores, then this has to be commensurate with the scores that they have.
Maybe not. Let's go over to Matthew St. Hoodie. Evil Dead 2, 1987. How many, by the way, swallowed souls?
Swallowed souls.
6 swallowed souls.
Yeah, it's a lot of souls to swallow. I'm full.
How many souls?
Souls are little.
How many souls? Some people don't have any.
It's like, what, 0.5 or something?
It's like,
how heavy is this soul?
38 grams.
Thank you. I knew somebody would know that.
How many are you chugging down?
I'm going to go 8. I feel like I should go higher, but I can't.
Really?
8's my number.
Okay. 8. 8 swallowed souls.
Mm-hmm. Feels good.
Yeah. Well, let's see where we go from there. And let's go over to
Max
Gumbo Johnson. He has a mouthful of I hope souls, and he's about to swallow them. How many you got?
10 swallowed souls. One of my favorite movies of all time. It's a genre-defining film,
And
it did it better than any movie ever made. Period.
Hands down. You can't part ways. This defines something. I might not like it.
But it does.
We'll discuss that.
Yeah. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. All right, man. Over to our producer. The greatest producer in the history of the Q Film Cast. Have to say at least once a show. That's Adam the Bomb Rogers. Evil Dead 2. I think you have the box set and the super deluxe box set.
Every version ever made.
Beta, laser disc.
I am a super fan of all Evil Dead films.
Yeah.
But.
There it is.
I'm only giving this an 8.
Oh. Are you serious?
Yes.
Because he has to judge it against the others.
How is that possible?
I went in this as a critical eye. Even I have to give it on. I can only give it an 8.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
I have my reasons, and I'm sure.
Okay. So having given this an 8 just now, are you still a super fan?
Yes. It hurts my soul to do this.
Have you swallowed your soul?
He swallowed his own soul. That's interesting to me. Because I guess. You're judging it inside its own casing, inside its own realm.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I understand where you're going with that. Okay. A little different standard there.
And I have my reasons.
All right. Well, here it leaves up to me then, right? I would say certain films seem to transcend being a film. It's like they take on a sort of hero status, right? And that's definitely what this thing is. It's like something that a lot of people cling to for whatever reason. You know, it's almost like a religious experience.
Yeah.
Mm. But as far as genre defining, Max, that's it, man. This one is certainly that. When you say horror comedy or whatever you want to call it, this is it. It's like the grand poobah, right? The godfather of the whole thing. So my problem is it seems like there's a lot of fanboys who kind of treat it outside of any critical eye.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's hard to give it a fair shake.
Yeah, they drank the Kool-Aid. And they're
a bit,
all in.
Yeah. So I really like the fact that Matt and Adam are like, no, I'm going to judge it with a critical eye, like you say. I try to do the same thing. Very, very honest. Like it's the first time out of a box.
Sure.
You know, catching me by surprise.
Sure.
That's the way I did this. And I got to go 9.
All right.
I have to go 9. This is a time capsule film. Actually, as I sat back, and it'd been a little while since I've seen it, but I was surprised by just how good the craft is here for me. I mean, to the point of where I'm like, you know what? I can't part ways. Even though the film annoys me and people talking about it all the time annoys me. I'm not going to deny this film exactly what it deserves, which is a 9, maybe. I don't want to go 10 yet, but I mean, it is a good film on every level it wants to go to.
41 swallowed souls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You like that? Did I surprise you with that?
I'm not hating it.
Swallowed souls. Did you say 6?
I said 6, yeah.
Yeah. Are you sure you have like another swallowed soul like stuck in between your teeth somewhere and just didn't quite make it down?
You know, and I don't want that to give the indication that I didn't enjoy this film or I don't like this film. But we're here to end with our own top 3 or to judge it against its own collection of within itself. It's like looking at all the pieces in a sausage, you know? It's not enjoyable, but if this is what we got to do, and if we got to judge this against the criteria of the other three,
sure.
Then this is where I got to go with this one.
Okay, you know? Now we won't reveal which one you like the most,
right?
Later, but there are films that go higher than that.
Sure.
Inside this, so you've seen them all.
Yeah.
Has it been a while since you've seen all the other films?
It has.
Well, why does this one?
But they're also to me, they're all so different. I mean, this one and Army of Darkness are the most similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think that the Army of Darkness does it better.
It knows what it wants
to be. No, I mean, this is a serviceable camp film. It is a serviceable camp film. I mean, there's nothing really original to it.
What?
Wait. No, there's nothing really original to it. I mean, the Raimi shot, you could say, is original, and I'll give it that. And anytime a director can create something that has his name, his brand on it, then he has created something original, and I will secede that. You know
what's savage? Everybody always says, when you talk enough about this film, this was the first of its kind.
I disagree with
when
that.
When they say that, I think they're talking about how the camera was used, because this is a roller coaster ride. You're strapped onto this thing.
Whoa.
And all of a sudden, you're riding this thing
literally
through the film.
That's a really good way to put that.
It really
that's
is.
That's exactly what it's like.
That's exactly what it's like. I mean, it's so enjoyable to that regard.
Exactly how he shot the thing.
But you don't see that as a motorcycle. You don't see that as an original.
I do see that. Concept. The Raimi shot is an original piece of cinematography. The Steadicam had been out, but obviously he didn't have money for a Steadicam, and this wasn't what it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Steadicam. It was him guerrilla filmmaking. Robert Rodriguez did it in El Mariachi, where he put the camera in a shopping
wheelchair.
Cart. And a wheelchair. Yep. And just pushed it around. I mean, same thing, but he probably picked that up from Raimi. But the story's, you know, it's not very original. I mean, it rips off the Twilight Zone. The opening credits rips off the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
You go back to Abbott and Costello, which still
Three
has
Stooges.
The same... You know, physical comedy, which Bruce Campbell's good, but he's not that good. I mean, he's no Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz. He's no Jim Carrey as a modern person. I mean, he's good, and I get it. I mean, it's camp. It's not supposed to be. I mean, these are exaggerated things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm giving the indication that I didn't enjoy this film, but I did.
Because everything here is about ocular and visceral entertainment. It is going to strap you onto this camera. And it's going to put everything at you fast, furious, and fun.
Right.
And uneasy.
Well,
and that's the essence of this film. I think that's what they're going for. Did you get that from the experience of
watching
this
because
film?
I started timing it, and it did. I mean, things started happening fast. I mean, and it's...
It doesn't take long to get to it, too. It's like,
no.
Okay, you're here for this. He's in the cabin. Let's go.
Right. And it was like 18 minutes before the dancing corpse. But that's all like old school Sinbad, Harryhausen stuff. I mean, that's...
Okay.
No, I mean...
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking about originality, and that's what people say.
Okay,
genre defining.
Hey,
it's simply not.
You're talking about two different things.
Yeah,
you're talking about special
here.
Effects versus what type of film this is. Okay, stop motion has been around since King Kong.
Right.
Okay, big deal. I mean, why are we talking about that? Nobody said that was original.
No, but this whole movie is the proposition that this movie is so original, and it's not. You know, when you can have Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. That's the same thing.
It's totally not the same.
It's
completely different.
It is not different. It's not different because Frankenstein was the horror film of the day.
Yeah.
And then you introduce these camp characters into it, and then you have the film.
Everything is somehow...
Zombies are demons is the Frankenstein, it's the Dracula, it's the mummy.
But let me ask you this question, though. You've spent a lot of time saying, well, it's tethered to this thing from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't all films kind of tethered to something else?
Absolutely.
And when you pick up that tether and pick up that rein and you say... Let's kick it up a notch. I can improve on this. I can do this in a way you hadn't seen this done. Yes, it is this. This has been done. But in this way, Savage, I don't know. To me, I mean, it's completely original on its craft. To me, anyways.
Well,
and that's why I love the film. It's not because of how it made me feel. I give this out of just sheer respect.
I don't know. I mean, we're going to get into our top threes. And, I mean, it's hard to have this discussion because we're going to get into this discussion later. But... you can tell he had the money that he didn't have for The Evil Dead.
And by the way, that is why he pushed to make this. Am I right? It was really just he...
Well, it was after Crime Wave, and he was still in director's
chair. He wanted to make this film all along, and then when the opportunity came up, I'm going to take this and redo this. This was my original vision from the original.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that it?
No.
No?
Really.
Max, let's go over to Gumbo Johnson real quick. Who do you want to jump in right
now? No.
You want to have Max kind of rebuff Savage here? By the way, we're talking about Evil Dead 2, 1987. Dead Till Dawn.
Dawn of the Dead.
What?
Dead Till Dawn. Oh, my God.
Dead at Dawn.
I'm going to let the movie feel by the end of the night. I promise.
I'm respecting all over this film. Give me a break. But Gumbo.
Respecting all over this movie.
Just respecting all over your soul. Gumbo, react to him. Go.
He's wrong.
Next.
That's it. This is not a formulaic picture with camp elements thrown in there. This is not intentional camp or anything like that.
What?
It's not.
I don't understand how you can say
there's,
that.
There's some elements that are a bit over the top. Well, I take that back. There are a lot of elements that are over the top. But they weren't played for camp effects. He's not like, hey, let's make it real campy and silly and blah, 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 blah.
What?
I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Okay, well, shut up and let me finish.
Let Max go. He has a lot to go with here.
Yeah, let him continue being wrong.
It's a melding of comedy and horror. I mean, you can only have, you're going to have the physical comedy in here, and you're going to have the pratfalls and stuff like that. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. It's not a joke-driven film as far as the comedy goes.
The stuff that really works comedy-wise is because, looking at it, it shouldn't be as funny as it is. Yet it is. It's all those little hums and whistles in the background that bring it alive that make it funny.
It played as a horror movie.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there are funny elements, but it's played as a horror movie. They don't back off of the horror element at all in the film. But they do add the comedy. I mean, it's in there. I always hear people say, oh, well, the Evil Dead, it's not really scary because it was so funny. Well, no, you're thinking of the Evil Dead, too. But this, I mean, it was blatantly a horror comedy. And it's the best one that's ever been done, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody mimics this. They all shoot to make the Evil Dead 2. They all, every Cabin in the Woods movie you see now, I mean, hell, they made a movie called Cabin in the Woods.
With tons of references to Evil Dead.
Everything went back to Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2. These things broke the mold. This was it. This was the one that everybody aspires to be, and nobody's done it yet.
So it's lightning in a bottle, really. Hard to do.
No, it's not lightning in a bottle, because he did it twice.
Wait,
he did it twice.
He did it twice.
You mean Army of Darkness?
No, I'm talking about Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2.
Okay, but you're talking about threading that needle. The sweet and sour aspect, where it's one, it's the other, together you got this, and it works.
And horror, neither
comedy,
one, neither one.
This was lightning in a bottle in that regard, and you're talking about people trying to recreate it. I don't know if you can.
You can't, because you're not Sam Raimi. You're not going to be able to do this. These guys had a certain element. They worked so well together that it worked perfectly, and it's not a remake.
No. Let's go over to Hoodie. Matthew St. Hoodie, man. You went up there at 8. Obviously, you liked the film. I think it might come down to respect like me at all. Did it lose something this time watching it?
No, it didn't lose anything. I've seen it so much. I think if I hadn't seen Army of Darkness, I would have gone a little higher on this one.
Really?
I kind of feel, my introduction to Sam Raimi and this whole trilogy or whatever you want to call it anymore was Army of Darkness, was finding that by myself late at night, being, what am I watching? What is happening?
Right.
And it blew my mind. I loved it immediately. And that was Army of Darkness. So that's, the soft spot.
Yeah.
And then I went back kind of backwards through the series and found it that way. But if I hadn't seen Army of Darkness, this one would have been probably a lot higher. I really feel like this is just a rough draft for Army of Darkness.
Really?
And Army of Darkness got it completely right.
Yeah, so you're saying it's kind of like your first love. It's that one. The first one, it always sets the bar.
Love
if you would have seen this first, it might have set the bar.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And as far as the craftsmanship of it, I really don't know enough about the horror genre to be able to argue with Max or Adam at all. I do respect it. I mean, you look at the movie, and aside from the dancing corpse girlfriend scene, is the worst. Absolutely.
So bad.
Best scene.
The worst thing I've ever seen, probably, in my...
We're not getting into Birdemic territory here. You see, to me, I like that. I thought it brought something into this film like, okay, guys, you know what? We know it's bad, but we're going to deliver it in a way that it's going to work here at this point. Her dancing around, spinning around, the claymation kind of aspect to it.
Yeah.
It dates it, but... Man, I don't know. Even that just charmed me, I guess. That was a charming
element.
Makes
it creepy, if you ask me.
No, nothing crazy. I hated it. Hated it. I literally hate that scene so much.
I was going to ask you guys.
I hate it.
I didn't think you guys would have too many bad scenes. I was going to ask you later which scene, if you could cut.
That's the one.
That would be the one.
Cut it 9 times.
I'll tell you right now that the tree eating him at the end was a little hokey to me.
There's a lot hokey in this film.
Hokey, but I tell you what. Let's take a break right now. Let's do a little bit of Sam Raimi's Evil Dead 2, 1987. Let's get back after this, talk a little bit about the performances, because we've talked about the craft, we've talked about the respect for the craft. What bubbles to the top each and every time is, man, did you see what Bruce Campbell did in this film? Let's listen to a piece here, and we'll come back and tell you what we thought of that. So here you go, Evil Dead 1987, Evil Dead 2.
There's something out there that That witch in the cellar is only part of it. It lives out in those woods. In the dark. Something that's come back from the dead.
We're going, baby. We're going to get on after
everybody goes out that door. Not till daylight.
You listen to me.
So there you go. There's a piece of the film we're talking about tonight, Evil Dead 2, 1987, written and directed by Sam Raimi. Are you laughing or are you scared? I don't know. That is the question. You know, and that is the big question. Is this a comedy trying to delve into horror, or is this a horror film shellacked over with a bunch of comedy? Which way do you go with this?
It's comedy.
It's a horror comedy.
It's just a Raimi.
It's a Raimi. There you go. I like that.
Yeah, you know you've defined something when you can just say, it's a Raimi.
You really can, though.
No, and I agree with that.
I mean, you can take any, basically, on it. You show me 10 shots, and I can pick out which one Raimi did.
Yeah.
That's how well-defined he is at what he does. Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, would you say that that's cinematography? I mean, that's camera work.
But that's him.
That's him.
No, I get that, but it has nothing to do with his composition as a director.
It has everything to do with
his manipulation of a camera.
Okay. What's the difference?
Well, because a cinematographer and a director of photography, one deals with light and camera movement. A director deals with talent.
No, this guy, okay, no.
No, well, that's the difference. If you ask me, Max, what the difference is, that's the difference.
Okay.
Director deals with talent.
Then why do all of his movies look the same?
Listen, Savage, I'm going to jump in here. I'm kind of getting on Max's train here on this one because I think when Sammy does a – Sammy.
Nice.
I think when he goes into a film, it's stand back, let Raimi go. I think he calls.
I like Sam Raimi films.
Yeah, all the shots. But
he's a very hands-on kind of guy, too.
I do. So.
Well, at least one hands-on. Oh. Hey, you know what I want to talk about? Speaking of one hand, I want to get over to you, man. What do you have to say? You went 8 on this film. I'm going to tell you, I thought it would go a little higher.
Talk to me
about this film. When we talk about why does this film have credence, why do people love and gravitate to this as a genre-defining film, why?
Well, why, I have no clue, because I love my God. Film. That's all I know. Well, okay, here's what I want to say about this film.
My name's Adam. I have something to say.
I didn't wear a helmet.
I just like saying.
Wow. Okay. The opening shot, I hate it so much. I love the original Evil Dead so much that I cannot tolerate the fact that they named this Evil Dead 2 and then put in this scene with just him and this girl showing up in the cabin and trying to retell the beginning of the story. Hmm. I absolutely hate that. Just leave it alone. If you're going to not...
You're a purist.
You're a purist. So what
just
you're...
leave it alone.
Right. Okay.
Back in the day, I mean, this was when VHS was popular. The only thing that people had to do is if they saw this film, liked it, and you wanted to retell the story, they could go into the VHS store and rent the original
right,
movie.
Right.
I'm sorry. It irks me so bad. I just cannot help how much I hate the opening scene with just...
So do you even watch the opening scene? Or do you like fast forward the first 10 minutes and
it's
then
like
start
7
it?
Minutes,
the
right?
Kind of mood I am. I really do fast forward a lot.
I'm still blown away that there was a VHS store.
Oh, it's a whole thing. It was a whole thing, man. There's a whole movement in VHS stores.
No, but I read somewhere that you can cut out the first 7 minutes of Evil Dead 2 and it really becomes a sequel.
It becomes a sequel.
That's great. Right.
So let's get into that.
And
that's what they should have done.
Right.
They shouldn't have had to try to retell it because anyone can go rent this movie back then.
God, right. You see, I kind of like that. I like the fact that it's not just a typical sequel. I like the fact that he went that way with it. I mean, to me, that's very interesting.
It wouldn't make any sense as a sequel.
No.
Why would he go back to the same cabin that everything happened? Like, you remember that cabin we went to and just totally got our butts handed to us? What are you doing this weekend? Let's go back to that cabin.
If you're going to do the way they did it, they should just call it Evil Dead, Dead by Dawn. That's...
Yeah.
Okay.
I got you. You're a purist in that way.
Yeah.
You know, screw purity. Okay? Because what I'm telling you is...
Hold on. He's not done.
Oh, go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry.
I can keep going on this for hours.
Lord!
And here's another thing I hate about this.
Oh, he's on a roll.
Not hate, but...
He's on a roll. Let's go.
I love this movie, but I love the fact that Evil Dead was a pure horror movie, and then they turned around and made this a comedy.
I'm with you on that.
That kind of... That gets on my nerves, too, as well. But I love the fact that this is a horror comedy, which gave us a great film of Army of Darkness.
Okay.
So I'm kind of torn.
Well, you see, this is a bridge then. It was a bridge. It was a nice bridge between Evil Dead 1 and Army of Darkness. What I'm telling you is everything you say annoys you. I love, again, that he said, you know what? I'm going to do it this way.
Yeah.
Everything tells me this should be a sequel. This should be something else. If I'm going to remake it the same way. Why would you do that? But he's like, I'm going to make this my calling card. Let me show you what I can do as a filmmaker.
I love it.
Stand back. Here it goes. Hey, you know, one thing that always gets talked about is the performances, too. We hadn't talked about that.
And I'm going to bring up something about that.
let's get into Adam. Hold on.
Shocker.
Okay. James said that there's the slapstick. Campbell is horrible at slapstick in this.
I did not say that.
You pretty much did.
I did not.
You cannot discount the scene where he... when his hand comes alive and in the
I'm
kitchen.
Not discounting Bruce Campbell's physical comedy at all.
Oh my God, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's not in the upper echelon of physical comedian actors.
Yes,
he
it is.
He flips himself over,
yeah.
That smashes scene was great. Plates on his head, and can literally make his hand pull his whole body. It's genius.
That's still a genius of Raimi there. But. Yeah.
It's some good editing and some good film work, and I'm not discounting Bruce Campbell's physical comedy, but he's not the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
Well, do you want the Scarecrow?
I'm not looking for the Scarecrow. Who gives a damn about the Scarecrow?
We're talking about the Evil Dead. I'm just saying in the quality of performance.
He's not Charlie Chaplin. We get it.
No, he's not Buster Keaton. He's not Charlie Chaplin. I mean, he doesn't have that level of physical comedy.
Okay, wait a second. Savage, I'm going to tell you what Savage...
He's right in there with the three.
No, wait a second.
Ooh, easy killer.
Here's why this conversation is relevant, because a lot of people who are fanboys, hardcore, this film said yes he is, they're putting him in there with Charlie Chaplin. Is that good? Everybody has
their own opinion. My opinion is that he's not.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm gonna quit talking about the performances. One quick thing though, I do think he is. I thought this was a classic performance. This is one that will be looked at maybe forever. I mean, he's so good in this film.
He is very good in this film. I mean, and you know what, he carries this film. And I don't want to give the impression that I don't like this film, because I do like this film.
Well, damn it. What did you like?
I like Bruce Campbell in this film. Okay. I like Bruce Campbell mugging. I'm a fan of Bruce Campbell. I am a fan.
Okay.
And I enjoy his performance in this film. I think he's fun in this film. I love him in Army of Darkness. And I think Hoodie nailed it. I think this is like a rough draft for Army of Darkness. That's about as succinct as you can say it.
I'm with you on that. Okay, so what you're saying to me is that it's not a Bruce Campbell excoriation of film. It's just he's better in another film. All right, the performances, man. There's no reason to talk about anybody else other really than Bruce Campbell. I can talk about The Witch and everything else.
Yeah.
I loved everybody's presence here, and I think that what rounded this whole thing out, sanded the edges, was completely Bruce Campbell. I don't know anybody else who could have hit that spot for me. I just loved the essence of this guy in every scene.
He's an icon now because of this.
Exactly. I think he deserves his icon status. And to be honest, that's why I give it a lot of love.
I think he's an icon because of Army of Darkness.
I do too.
That's where we got to know Ash. This movie kind of, Evil Dead is what introduces us to Ash, but Army of Darkness is where the Ash that we know and love is truly defined. Yeah. And when we think of Ash, we think of Army of Darkness Ash.
It's a far more quotable movie.
Yeah. I don't agree with that at all.
You don't?
He becomes the Ash.
He becomes Ash.
I'm saying he does. Yes.
The moment he puts that chainsaw on his hand, he is Ash.
He is Ash.
And he becomes the badass that we all know and love.
He's created in the second, in Evil Dead 2, but he's Ash as we know and love him. He's defined as our true hero in Army of Darkness.
Well, he was sniveling little coward at the beginning of this.
I say this is the definitive Ash. For me, Evil Dead 2 is the definitive Ash. He's born in Evil Dead 2. He does his most amazing stuff in Evil Dead 2. He's a little scaredy cat, and I'm not sure I want to do this. He can't remember anything in Army of Darkness. He's a total buffoon in Army of Darkness.
No, he's not. Not at all.
In this one, he's a total badass.
I'm with Max.
No, he's not a buffoon in Army of Darkness. He's a hero.
He
is.
He's
a hero.
He's the guy that jumps on the horse with his boomstick. He's the guy that gets thrown down a well. Kicks it in its
and he's also the guy that gets beat up by a little army of little ashes.
No.
Yeah, he does.
Oh,
he,
yeah.
Yeah, he's also the one
you
that says.
You take on an army of little ashes.
He's also one that says to the floating witch, come get some.
Yeah.
Get some.
And that's the Ash that everybody knows and loves. Right. Without the Army of Darkness, we would not have this affinity for Ash that we have. He would not be on such a high pedestal.
They could have never made Army of Darkness, and I would still have that affinity for Ash.
Before we start before we start calling each other a bunch of Ash holes, let's let's take a break. Listen to a piece of this film, and then we're going. Listen to a piece of Bruce Campbell. Yeah. Why not keep the ball rolling? Let's get a flavor. Piece. Let's hear a groovy piece. Bruce Campbell, Evil Dead 2, 1987, written and directed by Sam Raimi. We'll be back in just a minute. Sam Raimi, 1987, Evil Dead 2. There you go. There's a piece of that. And I believe you probably heard the mucking it up of the camera of Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Classic performance. Is it? Is it not? I'm going to say yeah.
It's definitely a classic performance because after he kills Linda, he's basically on screen alone for the next 20 minutes.
It's his film.
He says almost nothing.
That's where this film grabbed me right there, because when I talked earlier about this being a dance, a tango, what goes on in front of the camera and what goes on in back of the camera with Raimi is completely mastercrafted here. It's in sync. It's step for step. No one's kicking each other's toes.
Yeah.
It's a dance. Yeah, and I looked at that like art. It's hard to say, well, this is an art film. That's art to me.
Yeah, but Raimi is the demon is the thing. It's Raimi as the director is the demon. And so when Max says it's Bruce Campbell all alone, no, it's not all alone because he's reacting.
It's not what I said. I said he definitely carried this movie and it was a great performance because he was on screen for 20 minutes of the film by himself without saying hardly a word. And the movie kept on going and kept on going and kept on. Didn't skip a beat.
He had interaction with another character.
Yeah, I see what James is saying.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he's got to have something to do. He can't just sit in the chair for 20 minutes.
You know, no, what James is saying is that he was interacting with the camera, and the camera and Bruce were kind of playing off of each other with the angles, and the camera was moving like a demon around. Yeah, so there was kind of – I think that's a good point that James brings up. Nicely done.
Thank you, Hoodie. Thank you.
It's kind of like saying Tom Hanks.
In Castaway,
Hanks wasn't alone in Castaway because he had the ball. Well, it was still just him.
That's a better.
Not really, alone. No, because the camera wasn't as playful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a character.
Let's talk about some of the scenes. Hoodie, I want to throw over to you on this thing. There's all kinds of different things that kind of, you know, you take with you after this film and things that you remember. What's a scene that kind of defines this whole watching this movie experience?
Wow. The only scene that, the scene that I hate.
That, like the film.
Claymation scene. That's the thing. I hate that that's the one I remember when I go Evil Dead. I'm like, that scene just killed the whole thing.
That one pops in, huh?
But, running through the walls. And I do have a really bad problem with getting all of these movies confused and just lumping them all into one movie. I've been doing it for the last couple weeks. It's awful. So
really? They kind of bleed into one.
It is, but I think he ran through the wall in this one. Is that right?
Yeah,
he was chased through the house. I thought that was one of the
to the interior wall.
That's one of the best scenes, really, that I've ever seen. I thought that was just great, and I remember the first time I saw it, I rewound it and just watched it over and over again. It's just so cool.
Is it because like Jaws, it's what you don't see? I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what scared me in the first one.
Yeah, the camera gets really close to him, and you're like, oh, where's it? He's already in the wall. Where can you go from in the wall? But I mean, just to think about how they actually. That's it looks like it's one shot. Yeah, it looks like they just built like a maze and said, just run through this weird looking maze thing and we'll pretend that we're catching up to you. And you just look back. Oh, it's just great. Loved it. Yeah. I'd say that's the defining scene of the whole series.
I'm with you on that. The running through the cabin. You're literally being chased by the camera.
Right.
Yes.
The camera is about to eat you.
Right. Yeah. And then the camera, again, I think the camera going through the woods, with all those, I think that was even better in Army of Darkness. He used the camera work for him by actually breaking through trees and all that stuff in Army of Darkness and made it way better.
Gumbo Johnson, Max Gumbo Johnson.
And the backward smoke.
The backward smoke.
Right.
Which looked real.
The backward everything.
You know what? It didn't look like it was smoke being sucked backwards. It looked like it was going back into that tree or whatever. Mm. Yeah, great camera stuff there too.
Backwards.
Great camera stuff. let's talk about the scenes that that are worth note of yours here, Max. What are they?
Well, I mean, obviously the kitchen scene where his hand gets possessed.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. The part where he goes out to the living room and he just basically goes insane.
Yeah,
just talks to himself in the mirror, and starts dancing with the lamp.
Yeah,
and he kind sits of like on that buffoon. Chair, and the whole thing falls apart. No, like a crazy man.
Like a buffoon.
Like a crazy man. Only a crazy man would hear a Popeye laughing lamp.
We just killed our girl with a chainsaw.
And I love that. I love that scene too because there's so much going on in that room.
Yeah,
everything is moving. I mean, even the tiniest little thing on the table is jumping around and bumping around. God, that must have taken days to pull that off just to set it up and have
it's
it work.
It's a marvel. Yeah.
The other thing that, to me, is one of the defining shots of all of these movies is at that 7-minute mark when he wakes up in the puddle and he gets thrust through the trees, spinning around and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they literally put him on some kind of gimbal and had him spinning around, and Sam Raimi was
smacking him,
with branches.
Is
and
that
stuff.
How that happened?
Yeah, that's exactly how they did that.
Yeah.
And that it worked so well, it's crazy. And that, to me, is one of the defining Evil Dead images, as far as I'm concerned.
I like that. We should talk about defining images.
Let's talk about it.
Oh.
That's one.
The workshed scene, too.
Workshed.
Groovy.
Groovy.
I mean, when he made the chainsaw.
First time he says groovy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta love it. I thought, first time I saw this, oh my God, that was the coolest thing I ever saw. He did all that, and the way they cut it together, and just that little montage of clips, and then he stops and he says, groovy? Yep. Whoa.
Who says groovy?
Who says groovy? Ash says groovy.
That's when Ash was born, was that
That's when Ash was born.
That's exactly what I'm saying, but you're missing my point.
And there's your hero moment right there.
But he's an infant. He's an infant there.
But then he's defined in Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what one scene sticks out to me? The little things, like the trees. The trees were trees.
They were alive.
They were alive, but it wasn't just like, oh, there's flapping branches. I mean, they become a very intricate, important part of this film because it made everything seem real. In the middle of all this camp, those trees were so creepy and well-placed and alive that it made the film legitimate to me. You know what I'm talking about?
No, there's definitely some really good quality film work going on here. I mean, he can light things creepily, like horror films should be able to do. You know, the dappled shadows and things like that. And he pulls that off. But the camp tone is never absent from this film.
Yeah, it is.
Not to me, it never was.
It's a campy film.
It really is. And so there's never...
She went out in those woods. You can forget her. That was completely serious. And him threatening...
That's what makes camp.
Yeah, but no.
It wasn't a camp.
Yeah, and that guy threatened him with a gun. You know,
and that part where they go into the bedroom and
it's nonsense.
The girl and the girl's dad, his ghost comes up in the wall. I mean, it's not a well-done effect. It's not great, but it's not... made for laughs. It's not meant to be campy at all. It's meant to be scary.
Because let me tell you what, when Ash comes up,
failed.
When Ash comes up out of that mud puddle, that's some scary non-campy fare right there. There's some scary stuff in this film.
I will give you that. It's like the makeup work when Ash comes up out of that puddle with that makeup,
sunken eyes, man.
Yeah, no, I mean that was there was some creep to that,
and you weren't expecting that.
No, you weren't. You know, and there was some genuine creep to it.
And he was in that puddle for a long time.
Yeah, and blown out bubbles from long time.
He could have gotten the bends if he was in there.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, but to go back to, you were talking about the trees kind of being alive, something that I really just realized. I've always looked at the bridge when that gets folded up.
The hand.
It looks like a hand. Yeah. But then I saw the shot where it shows the cabin, and that's an absolute skull. It's got the two windows and the light coming from the door. It looks like the teeth underneath it. I had never noticed that before until just about a week ago.
Well, there was a superimposition.
That goes, you know, leading into with him making the woods even more alive with his camera work and at the branches, trees coming alive, everything attacking the woods. I thought that was one of the best things about.
I'm with you. When those details are just
the movie.
When those details are just as strong as the big scenes, it really legitimizes a film for me.
It's all about the details.
What about you, Adam, producer? What you got, man?
There's really not a lot of scenes other than what really comes to mind is the makeup.
Yeah.
The special effects in this, for the most part, are really good other than the floating head. but, I mean, this gave birth to the K&B effects group, which is
what
I
is
love.
That?
Greg Nicotero, Berger.
Oh, Greg Nicotero does the evil, not the Evil Dead, the Walking Dead stuff. Yeah. Okay, him. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this gave birth to these guys, which are now the... top echelon of everything. You know, these guys are fantastic, and this gave birth to all these three guys.
Mm-hmm.
The effects in this are just fantastic. Yeah. I love them. I mean,
the details are great.
It's just some things I've...
okay.
The sound effects are what I hate in this movie.
Really?
Yeah. He's a sound guy.
I thought the sound was good.
No, when the body was deflating, the...
It sounded like a balloon. Well, maybe that wasn't. Maybe that wasn't from the movie.
I think that was supposed to be funny.
There's
like playing for camp.
Yeah, it plays for camp.
No,
there's a difference between comedy and camp. Okay. There's a difference between comedy and camp.
All right, what's the difference?
I just got Max's side of this. I'm with Max.
The Batman TV show was campy.
There you go.
It was sarcastic. It was ironic, stupid, silly comedy.
Without trying to be. Yeah.
This is played for laughs. It's not played to be. Look at us. Look how clever we can be. Ha, ha, ha. Laugh along with us.
You don't think there was some of that?
But you had a great creature start from that.
No.
And then I agree with that. This is, comedy.
It's just comedy.
And it's good comedy.
Yeah. And what's funny is funny. Rocky Horror Picture Show is camp. You could go on and on. This is not camp.
I think you're using a false equation, man. It's like, it's
No, I think you don't know what camp is. I like that part. I like the cellar scenes.
Oh, the cellar scenes. Yeah, Carve Henrietta. Me up a witch. Yeah,
yeah, I like that when he had to go back and get the pages.
Ice fruit cellar.
And yeah. I wouldn't call that camp at all. I would call it exactly what it wanted to be, which was a dichotomy of horror. And
they were going for horror and in those scenes.
And she, her singing
some comedy
to the daughter. I mean, that's horror right there.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy.
Let's give one last shout out to a little bit of an idea of why we think this film. Has so much
the status that it has.
The status that it has, and why it has so much life, and why it just kind of lives on. I'm just going to round it out and wrap it up by saying it had a premise. Let's take comedy,
yeah,
and let's completely meld it with horror. Let's see if we can pull off something here completely original. And when you have a big, bold idea and a big, bold concept, and you pull it off completely, there's no reason for me not to give you your credence on this thing. I think Campbell was... Maybe it was by accident or design, but whatever it was, right place, right time, everything worked here. I was completely and totally entertained. And it doesn't change every time I see it. As a matter of fact, every time I watch this film, as I pull farther away from the rearview mirror, it becomes more clear to me. I just think this is a great piece of cinema. Okay. And it deserves to be talked about for a long time, especially because of Raimi and what he can do with that camera. You're strapped on. You're going for a ride. You don't know what's around the corner. The bottom falls out right when you feel safe. Right when you feel scared to death, here's something funny. It's a great piece of cinema.
And you got Campbell as a co-pilot.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
the best. There you go.
yeah. And it's Scorsese, De Niro, or Burton Depp. I mean,
ooh,
this was
right.
This is Raimi Campbell. I mean, they are yeah. they're partners. And this it really shows that they know each other and they know how to work off each other. This is a good film.
And that's why it's got the staying power.
Gumbo, go.
Here's one reason I think it gets the respect it does. I think people that had seen Evil Dead... They heard, oh, Evil Dead 2. Great, I loved Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And they go in and see this.
Kind of blindsided.
Yeah, you're totally yeah. blindsided by this movie if you had no idea what was coming. It was the most incredible. I mean, well, I remember the first time I saw it. It completely blew me away. I said, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And it has not been recreated still.
That's how I was when I saw the movie poster of this. I walked into the VHS store.
Did it say VHS store on the front?
Yeah.
Was there a Betamax store across the street?
No, it closed, obviously.
He was shopping at
S-Mart. But yeah, after seeing Evil Dead, and then I saw Evil Dead 2 was coming out, and I walked in and saw the poster. I'm just like, this is the greatest movie poster of all time. That's when I fell in love with the movie posters.
I'll give it to you.
And
yeah. Nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah, it's genius still.
Yep.
But that... Just, I was super excited and could not wait for the Evil Dead 2 once I saw that poster.
It over-delivered. Exceeded its grasp.
No, it delivered.
yeah, it over-delivered.
That's
it it delivered way more than I was expecting to, yeah. to get.
Go ahead, man. You want to give your final thoughts on this thing? Why do people love this film, and do they deserve to love this film?
I really think we hit the nail on the head here with the dichotomy between Campbell and Raimi. I think if anything's got staying power, that's why. There's just a natural thing that happens when... People are working at their peak, and they know what's up, they know what's in each other's heads, and they are putting it down on the celluloid. It's good to go.
How come we don't see more...
They're bros.
Evil, that's what I'm saying.
A Raimi,
bros.
Campbell.
Thank you.
Way to sum that up.
I mean, you have an endless parade of Johnny Depp, what's his name, Tim Burton films. Don't you think we should need a few more Raimi...
Scorsese, DiCaprio.
Yeah, but we need more Raimi Campbell films.
Yeah, well...
Campbell's in a lot of Raimi films.
He's in all Raimi films.
He's not driving them.
Quick and the Dead.
A cameo.
He's not driving them.
Yeah, he's in cameos in all of them.
Here's why you don't see it more.
You really caught Campbell at his peak in these.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Basically.
You did.
I mean, he's doing that Burn Notice stuff.
That's over. But here's why you don't see it, because Raimi's a big-time director now. Campbell's still king of the B actors.
And he's very comfortable with that, too.
And he embraces that role.
Yeah, yeah. Even his book is Confessions of a B Movie Actor.
Now, if they would get off their asses and make Evil Dead 4.
Okay, so let's get into our top three of the week, and that's top three Evil Dead movies.
Yeah.
Now, this is a different way for us to do this. Usually we inspire some kind of a conversation. But you know what? This is a genre-defining film. Why not? And you have several films out there that are in this box set, as I call it.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 1981, Evil Dead 2 1987, Army of Darkness 1992.
I think so.
And then the remake last year and another one coming out. But of those four films, we're going to talk about our top three Evil Dead films. And this may be a better conversation than I originally anticipated.
Yeah.
Blue Sherry queued this film up
right.
via you. You birthed Blue.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I don't know his.
So we're gonna go to you, man.
Yeah.
I
don't know Blue's rating.
No, we'll let that be a mystery. Yeah. But I want to go over to you to start this thing off. Top three Evil Dead films. Do you want to just do 1, 2, 3, and then 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3? Kind of go all the way around.
Yeah.
Sure.
Top three Evil Dead films. Savage, go. What you got?
Well, this will be number four for me, and I think number three will be the remake in 2013. I think it's a quality film. It's genuinely creepy. I think they tried to keep a humorous tone at times. And then The Evil Dead, number one, I think with the budget, the very limited budget that he had, it really shows Raimi's film craft that with limited money. I think Evil Dead 2, mm-hmm. with his $4 million or yep. whatever it was, kind of went a little crazy on him, or was a rough draft, which is my number one, Army of Darkness.
It's
a great film, completely quotable. It is what this Evil Dead aspired to. It's just mm-hmm. a bigger, better film of the same vein.
It's a ball of madness.
Yeah, so that's it.
Nicely done. What about you, Hoodie? Which way are you going to go with this thing?
Oh, my 1, 2, 3 is 3, 2, 1.
Let me figure this out in my head. Okay, so the remake's gone. It's booted. Odd man out.
That's four, yeah.
Odd man out.
I didn't get it.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Okay.
I have a hard time with the remake. It was good. It was a good movie, but no, that's not right. It's not right. It's okay. But Army of Darkness is the best one. That's where I think I was talking about, you want to talk about masterworks. I think that's where Raimi and Campbell's relationship kind of peaked together at the same time with a nice script. It was great. It was great. It was just perfect. And that being the first one I saw, that set the stage for everything else. And none of the other two movies lived up to it at all. I think Evil Dead 2 was the closest. And that's only because they're
close.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other. And that's right. Because they're literally connected at the end of the movie. So
are you looking forward?
You can add them together as one movie.
Yeah, that's how I think about it.
That's what he said. They kind of bleed together. Yeah. Let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. You know the question, and I'm sure you have your answers. Best Evil Dead films. 3, 2, 1. What you going to go with?
Number one is Evil Dead 2. Number two, the original Evil Dead. Number three is Army of Darkness.
Odd man out for the new one.
Wow, has everybody put that at the last?
No.
The last one?
He has it in there.
What did you
do?
He kicked out Evil Dead 2.
No, it's number three. It's number three.
Yeah, so you're going, wait, you say Evil Dead 2
is
number one.
Evil Dead 2 is the best one.
Right.
Evil Dead, and the original second. Army of Darkness third.
Okay, easy enough.
Easy peasy Japanese.
Adam the Bomb Rogers. Kick it out to me. What you got?
Evil Dead, hands down. Number two is actually the remake.
Really?
For me.
Okay.
Yeah. I love the remake. I thought it was great other than one little scene that kind of killed it.
The electrocuting thing?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah. And after that, it's Army of Darkness. Evil Dead 2 is my least favorite of all the four movies.
That still shocks me.
And it's primarily because of the opening scene.
That is so weird.
That's crazy. So lame. Really
You never cease to blow my mind.
The funny thing is we argue about this all the time.
I know.
When Blue said that we were going to do Evil Dead 2, the first thing we did was walk outside and start ranking them.
Yeah. And Evil Dead, hands down, I love horror. I think this should – I wished it would have remained a horror movie or a horror franchise.
Yep.
But even though I love 2 and 3, I love my horror more. So.
Okay. All right, so what are my top three Evil Dead films? You know, to be honest, I can tell you, but I really wish I could watch them all and then rate them. I could tell you, looking back from several years since I've seen Army of Darkness, man, I'd love to see it again. But as it stands right now, I'm going to say my number one's Evil Dead 2.
Yes.
I like it because of that dance, that arm-in-arm thing that they're doing behind and in front of the camera. Just mastercraft to me, number one there. Number two, I'm going to go with Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Something tells me that if I watch it again, that might change, but as it stands.
No, it won't.
Listen, it's been a long, long time since I've seen the original Evil Dead, and I did like the remake because I thought I'd hate it.
Yeah, I did too.
But I did like it enough to give it my number three. Put that in there. I have to hold judgment on the original. It's been too long since I've seen it.
Wow.
Number Evil Dead 2, number 1, Army of Darkness, number 2. All these numbers getting confusing.
And then the remake.
The remake, number 3. There you go. You know, typically we go
to... So 2 is 1.
Oh, yeah.
1 is 2.
3 is 2.
And 4 is 3.
Oh, my God. Someone swallow my soul.
Fishy, fishy, fishy.
Just swallow my soul. You know, typically we go out to Twitter and we throw out a top 3 of some sort. This week we did it different. I like it. I like this. We put out a poll on the at the QFilmcast.net. Threw it out there, asked everybody else, hey, go to our website, tell us what you think is your favorite Evil Dead film. Producer, pull it up. What's the results as we as it stands right now? What you got?
Okay, we have 3% What is Evil Dead?
Someone actually voted for that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 10.81% The Evil Dead Original.
Right.
Army of Darkness at 18.92%. Evil Dead Remake at 21.62%.
What?
And that's Evil wrong. Dead 2 at
45.95%.
Yes. Oh, Evil Dead is
killing
it. The poll is...
That's the poll.
The Evil poll Dead 2 is the remake is over the Army
The remake
of Darkness.
Is number 2, according to our poll.
But wow. I think a lot of people that took this poll have probably never seen the other ones because they were too young
please
at
watch
the time.
Them.
Right.
I don't buy that.
You know, it has the heat because it's new. Who doesn't like a new toy? Yeah. Right? There you go.
And we'll leave the poll up a while so you can go watch all the movies and then come back. You know.
Right. Yeah, the poll's going to be that. I won't take it down. Anybody who's listening to the show, if you're in revolt, if you want to stand up for your rights and change that poll,
right.
If you want to start a campaign,
right.
You go to theqfilmcast.net. Not only take the poll.
You are the change.
Yeah. Yeah. Change you can believe in. Right. Not only can you change a poll, you can also leave your review too. Go ahead and tell us what you think of this film. It'll be up when you get this. So
you can be the change. So
yeah,
as long as Evil Dead 2 stays at number 1.
Good. That was bad. Right.
Interesting stuff. So yeah, Family Plan. Our Family episode number. Is this our second Family?
Yeah, second
yeah.
Family.
Thank you, Blue. You know you're family here. Right. It's like the Olive Garden around here. You're family. Thank you very much.
We're good I bet friends. Blue would give it a 10.
I'll bet you Blue would.
Yeah, he
Blue
gives it a, 10. It a 10.
Let me tell you, when you walk into his studio and you see a picture of him, Blue. I'm sorry, Bruce Campbell.
No, he's got the giant Ash doll. I mean, he's got the 2-foot Ash doll.
Have you not seen my room back here?
Right. I have one, too.
I've seen a giant doll in your room, but it was not of Ash. Let me just put it that way. And it was under the bed. It was half deflated. And she just won't keep her mouth shut. Sorry. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, so there you go.
Won't keep her mouth shut.
Adam is like beat red right girl.
Now.
Oh. It's because he knows it's true.
Oh.
He's been busted.
He's like, stop busting on Cynthia.
He's just like his doll.
Oh, he isn't.
How'd you know her name?
It's written on her forehead.
Oh.
Okay, so that's it. That's it, guys. Let's wrap this thing up. That is Evil Dead 2, 1987, written and directed by Sam Raimi. Yeah, you know the film.
And Scott Spiegel.
Next week's Family Plan. You know it's my turn, right?
Yeah.
You know I could go different directions. I think as much patience as she's shown me these late nights. Are you done yet? As she's yelling down the stairs. Right. I'm still looking at my laptop.
Right.
Working on this show, I think we need to hand it over to the wife.
Hmm.
The lovely Lisa.
Oh, Lisa, yeah. The lovely Lisa.
Yeah, I bow down to my lovely wife and say, here, you cue up the film. You know where she's going with this one, guys. It's going to be a chick flick, something that's very warm and tender and sweet and French. And we're talking about Amelie, 2001. Talk about another bit of a cult film, too. A lot of people still staying power, you know. So let's talk about that one.
Never seen it.
Good.
Let's see if it deserves a bit of its rep.
French film, huh?
Genet.
Oui.
Isn't it Genet?
Great.
Jean-Pierre
Genet. Jean Genet.
Jean-Pierre Genet.
Genet. I'll get it right.
You know.
But that's next week. That's Amelie 2001. Go check it out with us. Come back next week. See if you agree or disagree. In the meantime, this is the Q Filmcast. This was Evil Dead 1987. Evil Dead 2, sorry.
Dead by Dawn.
Dead till Dawn. Wanka, wanka, wanka. Next week, Amelie 2001. See you then. Have a good one. Stay safe.
And check our polls.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fear. Without crying, now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can, Doctor. My eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise? So long.